You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Good evening, Sun Coast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and thank you for joining us today. Today, I also have with us Ira and Adam. Thank you for joining today's episode.
Hello, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Ruth. Happy to be here.
Yes, yes. And what are we going to be discussing today? I'm kind of excited because we will be bringing some local information to our listeners today.
All right. Well, we definitely have a lot to get through before we get to our main story. First things first, let's start off with some excellent news. Well, you know, it's not a complete win, but it's still a pretty big win to me. The update with the Uhuru trial. Ruth, would you like to explain? You were there at the courthouse.
Yes, yes. I actually attended the Uhuru sentencing, right? As we remember, they were actually found guilty of only one charge, which was conspiracy to act a foreign agent. However, after such a long targeting from the FBI, they were found not guilty to be agents of a foreign government, meaning agents of Russia. Now, this is a win regardless of what has happened. And thankfully, they were not sentenced to any time in jail. They were actually sentenced to only 3 years of probation, and they were not given any fines, which was something interesting, because sometimes people are given just outrageous fines. And that's even more interesting because the FBI did spend a couple of million dollars on this trial, which is crazy for something that's considered to be minor. But it was a great reunion to see people from all over the country and locally come together to protect and defend, you know, what's at the heart of the targeting of the Uhuru 3, which is really just criminalizing community organizing and criminalizing their fight for, you know, the liberation of African people all over the world. So I wanted to bring that update. They did promise to actually appeal the case, and based on what the attorneys said, it is very likely that they will win on appeal, because unlike murder, conspiracy, it's almost like they got found guilty of conspiring to do what they got found not guilty of doing, which doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, it's not like a murder charge where you can still have attempted or conspired to commit murder. They explain that it's very different here. So they do have grounds for an appeal. So we will bring you an update as soon as that's in. My understanding is that it will take a couple of years, so we may not have an update for a little bit.
Yes, but still, no financial penalty and no jail time. And for that is a huge win. That is a huge win. That is a moment that we need to take that. We need to take our wins when we can. And that is huge because, you know, jail time at especially for someone in their 80s could be deadly, frankly. So this is a huge win. And yeah, I'm taking that in stride. And we definitely have some more updates to give everyone, including some events for a local volunteer meeting. Adam, would you like to explain that one?
I would love to. So this Saturday, December 21st, we will be having organizing meetings. We're having two meetings, one in Tampa and one in Bradenton. This will be at the Braden River Branch Library. It will be Saturday, December 21st at 12 p.m. in room 205, which is in the West Wing. The goal of this meeting is building a movement to defend our rights, keeping our public funds at home instead of feeding the war machine, fighting for a free Palestine, and building the world we deserve to live in. We'll be discussing the current political moment in Tampa Bay and how to build a fight back movement right here in Tampa and Bradenton. We encourage everybody to come out. You don't have to have any organizing experience. And this will really be a moment for the community to kind of come together, to start organizing. And this is all right now kind of pointed towards a demonstration that we'll be planning for Sunday, January 19th, which will be very close to Inauguration Day, which is Monday, January 20th.
Yes, yes. And thank you for that information. As you know, Adam, every right that we have enjoyed was won through struggle of ordinary working class people like you and I. So now that the Trump administration seeks to do the bidding of the millionaire class, because it is an ultra billionaire agenda, and basically eviscerate the economic and political rights that were won through the 1930s and the civil rights movement of the 60s, we have to fight back, right? We have to fight back and defeat the billionaires program, but we can only do that by building a massive independent working class movement against the political system. You know, a movement that gives everything. This is really a movement that gives everything to billionaires while taking everything away from working people, which is what we are seeing. So I really encourage all of our listeners to attend to this meeting. And now, how can people learn more information, Adam, and even register for the meeting?
So you can go to Instagram at PSL Tampa Bay, but we also have a short link. I'm going to type it out or say it out loud and also type it in the description. The link is bit.ly/Jan20Vol. That's J-A-N as in January, 20 volunteer, V-O-L.
Yes.
One thing I do want to add here is that this isn't just in response to Donald Trump, right? This is in response to the entire administration and creating and organizing a movement and demonstrations in Tampa Bay and in Bradenton is just the start. This isn't just something that is only focused on Donald Trump himself.
Correct. Yes, because we don't want to, you know, conflict those or be kind of naive thinking that is, you know, our problem is just the one man, when our problem is really the entire system and also the agenda that he's bringing in, right? Because this is an agenda that's going to attack many, many of our communities. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that and, you know, just the attacks that he has already planned. I think it will truly help our listeners understand why it is important that we attend this volunteer meeting and the volunteers meeting that will also be taking place in January. We truly have to have a resistance against the attacks that are coming, right? And what are some of the communities that will be impacted, you know, based on what has been put out already onto the media and the agenda that it's coming with the new administration? We can talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely, Ruth. And there are multiple communities the Trump administration has put a target on. Very obviously, the LGBTQ plus community. Trans people in particular are being targeted. Trans adults are being targeted. Their health care is being targeted. Their life-saving like treatments, therapies, medications are being targeted. Trans children, it's unspeakable the level of targeting they're doing to trans children. They are in those such things are only going to become far worse. People are, it's going to be extremely impactful on our queer community.
Yes. And we already have, you know, legislations like the Don't Say Gay here. I'm sorry. Yes. And we already have legislation like the Don't Say Gay right here in Florida. And we know that, it is very likely that they're going to try to pass the different laws that have been passed here in Florida locally, targeting the LGBTQ community, that there'll be efforts now to basically expand those legislature and federally, and really, you know, a true intent to try to send the LGBTQ plus community back into the closet.
Absolutely. That is the goal. And they may be focusing on trans people now, but, you know, cisgender queer people will be next. So If you do not ever think for a second that you're safe as a sexual or gender minority. But yeah, and beyond, and building off of that, women are also going to be targeted. It's not just queer people, but women, anyone who's not a cis het man is going to be targeted. Women's rights, bodily autonomy are going to be taken advantage. It's not just going to be in the South potentially. They're going to try to come for it. They're going to try to come for birth control. They're going they're just reproductive health as a whole. But yeah.
Something else I think that's worth saying is that they're not going to necessarily attack, or rather, they're going to use a very specific way and strategy to attack these communities. It's not going to be, death to all, XYZ people or different groups. It's going to be shrouded in a language that is going to be hard to parse through. We're going to go through some things today in the different appointees and some of the different directions that segments of the government is going to go in, the directions they'll go in under Donald Trump. And a big part of that is going to be the words that they use. They're going to use words like freedom of choice. They're going to use words like deregulation, and we need to really parse through what that actually means. So, are we ready to get into the nitty-gritty of this week's episode and go through kind of some of the effects of the incoming Trump administration's government and his appointees?
Yes, let's do it. Why don't we start with a really important one, public education?
Yes, you may or may not have heard that the Trump's pick for Secretary of Education is going to be none other than Linda McMahon, WWE co-founder and wife of Vince McMahon. Yes, is going to be Secretary of Education. You may be wondering, what are her qualifications? She's never been a teacher. Well, she's never been a teacher. She's never been a principal. She's never been a researcher. Her greatest contribution to education to date has been a poster series launched 2 decades ago, in 1999, where 1999 Intercontinental Champion Edge urges kids to get excited about reading. So look at that. She's promoted reading generally. Incredible.
It's funny you mentioned Vince McMahon because I think what you'll come to see is a lot of these picks. Vince McMahon and WWE have been very closely tied with Donald Trump. As one has risen to power, so has the other. They're very interconnected, and Trump chose Linda for some reason. It's not her experience. She's not a teacher. What can she bring to the table besides, being somebody that will do the bidding of the Trump administration? So I think you'll come to see a lot of his appointees are in a similar boat, that they're chosen not for their experience, but for their, willingness to capitulate to Donald Trump's agenda.
And the thing is, she is a huge supporter of charter schools, which we all understand the problem with that. You're just taking money out of the community. She is an opponent of federal policies to combat racism, sexism, and anti-LGBTQ discrimination in schools. She, has signaled these typical right-wing talking points around education, which is really just a degradation of the quality of education in our schools. So yeah, and for those students, it's going to be for all students of those groups, it's going to be a less safe place in both colleges and public schools.
Yes. But we can stop Trump and McMahon from shredding public education, but only if we unite. When teachers, unions, students, parents, and the community come together, we are a force even stronger than the billionaires and their stream politician agendas. Just want to remind everyone that, and to, invite you again to this meeting where we will be taking time as a community to discuss these issues and come up with a plan as to how we will fight back and protect public education. All right, now how about we talk about one of the main issues that are also in our communities? I know that housing, it's like the number one issue in everybody's mind, But another one is the environment, right? Because we need the planet in order to survive. All of us do.
Absolutely, especially those of us who, we just dealt with two hurricanes this year. So that is going to be, very on the forefront of a lot of people's minds right now. So, let's go over the environmental policies or environmental picks. So first off would be the Interior Secretary. The Interior Secretary is in charge of all of the national parks and many such things like that. They have authority over 500 million acres of federal land and 1.7 billion acres of offshore waters that can be leased for oil and gas drilling, which is kind of crazy that our federal lands are even allowed to be leased for oil and gas drilling. Even more so, they're done very cheaply. He's in the pocket of billionaire oil CEO Harold Hamm of Continental Resources, who has donated huge sums of money to Trump and his campaign, his run for governor. And then, as governor of North Dakota, he invested in a he supported the expansion of a pipeline that cost $5.2 billion that Ham is a major investor in. So he's a very obviously corrupt. He's a very openly corrupt individual. Who else is on the list for environmental?
I see on here Lee Zeldin will be the head of the EPA. I think we're all familiar with the EPA and the important kind of scientific background that that industry comes from. So the EPA is now going to be led by a lawyer with no background in environmental science. Lee Zeldin is a former congressional representative. In his 8 years in Congress, he consistently voted against measures to protect the environment or to address climate change. One of his main claims is about regulation. You'll see regulation kind of come up in all of these departments. He claims that regulations are what has driven American businesses overseas, and he vows to pursue energy dominance. This is exactly what we're talking about when I mean like verbiage that this administration is using to kind of galvanize these cuts. So energy dominance is at the top of their list, and you're going to see them taking advantage of those land I'm sorry, what did I ever say? The leasing for oil and gas drilling. He's definitely going to work hand in hand with Doug Burgum to make sure that the government agencies like the EPA and the Interior Department of the Interior kind of just lay back and let private interests take over and do whatever they want.
Yes, so another place where only the power of the people and the organization of the people can get in the way of the destruction, the further destruction of our planet that is already in a dire situation and suffering. I mean, that really needs healing. Now, I know the one that I'm going to mention now, I know our listeners may not be as familiar with, is actually one of those new agencies that have been mentioned, but that very little people know. So let's go ahead and translate this, all the talks that we have heard about government efficiency, right? What does that mean? And is this really just me, Trump putting millionaires in charge of basically a war on the working class? Can we dig into that?
Absolutely. Let's get into it. So Donald Trump has named Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to lead a new, quote, Department of Government Efficiency, which, yes, spells Doge as in Dogecoin, as in the Elon Musk meme, Bitcoin that he loves and supports and made money off scamming his followers off of. So this department, which was a whole new department to eliminate efficiency, very efficient, despite promising it's going to stand up for workers, he's like Trump has now deputized these two billionaires to wage war on every public program that benefits the working class. That is essentially what this is. Their goal is to carry out $2 trillion worth of cuts to $2 trillion. Cuts from where? They're gonna look for it. Why 2 trillion? just because. So they pretend they're going to do these things by just by ending wasteful and inefficient practices. But there is no way one third of the budget can be cut without firing huge numbers of public sector workers.
Something I'd like to add here is what department is immune from these cuts? It's the Pentagon, it's the military budget. They're never going to touch that. That's got no place in this efficiency conversation. And then the last thing I want to say is how funny that the Department of Government Efficiency has two people leading it. Seems a little.
Right? Right? It's so efficient. It's so efficient. They need to have two leaders because famously that's going to work well.
Yes, and this is just going to result on a slash on social programs. I'm pretty sure that they'll be cut when we mention, cutting public sector workers. Many of these federal employees are actually represented by union. They are union members. So this is going to continue the attack on the public sector workers and, on labor unions. And they are going to cut very basic programs like food stamps, WIC, public housing, in workplace safety enforcement, so OSHA is probably at jeopardy. Something that we have to take very seriously because we are barely receiving, we barely have social programs that are in place that are successful and well funded. So, further cutting any pro I mean, further cutting social programs is going to have a major impact on the working class in this country. And how about the privatization of healthcare, right? That is a big one. In the last couple of weeks, since we know what happened, everyone is talking about healthcare. And what representative of the ruling class do we have here for the privatization of the healthcare system? I think this one is someone we know, isn't it?
Yes. Are you coming from your TV screen? Dr. Oz is going to be in charge of healthcare, the most massive healthcare agency in America, which is incredible, incredible. The man that sold you magic green coffee beans to lose weight is going to be in charge of healthcare. Fantastic. And he's going to be privatizing Medicare and Medicaid. So, and if you believe that that's a good thing, you probably also bought those magical coffee beans he was selling too.
Now, people are going to have to come together. We already have such a major, I think it's over 338,000 people that die every year from the lack of, proper health care. Over 154,000 are receiving amputations that could have been prevented if they have proper health care. This is really like one of those things that's really going to impact everyone. Here in Florida, in particular, we have, a large elderly population that depends on Medicare. So this is something very, very major and that we have to organize around. Instead of funneling money into the healthcare system, we could take all those corporations and turn them into public property, and we can have free healthcare for everybody. That is something that can be done if we have the power. So again, come to this meeting and let's organize together, come up with a strategy on how we are going to fight back.
And next, building off of, needing to organize, the next group we're talking about may perhaps need the most support from us, and that is immigrants. All right. Donald Trump has declared an all-out war on immigrants in America. He has put in as far his picks, he's put in Thomas Homan, his border czar, head of ICE during his first term. He pledged to at the National Republican Convention that he would run, quote, he would quote, run the biggest deportation operation this country's ever seen. He promised to flood sanctuary cities with agents to conduct a mass arrest and carry out massive raids targeting workplaces. And funny enough, he was given the Presidential Rank Award by Barack Obama in 2015 for his work in enforcement and removal operations. So, then.
Wow. Well, that tells us the reality. Democrats and Republicans are united when it comes to attacking, our immigrant communities here at home, which is just shameful. Yes, and who
Absolutely.
else do we have in that department?
People forget that Obama was called the deporter in chief before Trump came around, and took that spotlight from him. Next is, you may remember this one from Trump's last administration, the famed alt-right Stephen Miller, deputy chief of staff for policy, which means he's going to be overseeing deportations. Now, this is a man who I'm personally comfortable calling a Nazi, given the scandals about him. But regard he is very much a key bridge between the Trump administration and the alt-right fascist movement in America. He is the architect of the cruelest anti-immigration policies of the first Trump administration. Like, he's responsible for family separation. He supports deploying military units of the National Guard to hunt down undocumented people. He advocates the construction of massive camps to detain immigrants rounded up in raids by the thousands. He is as bad as it gets. We could talk go on forever about this particular guy, but we must go on. Kristi Noem is going to be chosen Secretary of Homeland Security. You might know of her. She was governor of South Dakota, very loyal to Trump. Claimed the United States is in a time of invasion as a consequence of immigrants, quote, waging war against our nation. She supported the Muslim ban during Trump's first term because it would restrict refugees from, quote, terrorist hotbed areas. So that's a lot. There's going to be a lot that we need to do for our immigrant population in particular. The violence is coming. The National Guard very likely is coming for these communities. So, Ruth, where do we go from here? What can we do from here?
Yes, when it comes to immigrants, really working class solidarity is really what we need at this point. We must not let the rich to pit us against each other. Immigrants and US-born workers should stand together to take back the wealth that our labor has created and that has been actually stolen from millionaires. So I really hope that we can stand in solidarity with immigrants, now, during the next 4 years and beyond, that we will see all of these attacks. Now, unfortunately, we are running out of time. So, Adam, can you just remind our listeners again when and where these meetings will take place? We want to truly invite all of our listeners to attend what will be the first of a series of volunteers and organizing meetings that will take place right here at home. So far, they have been scheduled in Bradenton and Tampa, correct, Adam?
That's correct. This Saturday, December 21st, the Bradenton location will be at the Braden River Branch Library in room 205, and that's at 12 p.m. this Saturday, the 21st. Tampa also has one at the Freedom Center on Nebraska in Suite 403, the same day, Saturday, the 21st at 3 p.m. You can find more information by going to Instagram and searching PSL Tampa Bay, and also you can follow the link in the description, which is bit.ly/JAN20VOL.
Yes, and at that meeting, we will together plan a march for January 19th, but also how we are going to protect all of our communities, the LGBTQ community, the poor, women, immigrants, the environment, our public education. I mean, all of the issues. And again, this is a series, so there will be more meetings in January as well if you are not able to make this meeting. But truly urge you to go ahead and reach out and plan to attend this meeting, whether it is this one. That's coming up this Saturday or the ones in January. Only a united working class people's movement can put a stop to all the attacks that are coming from the incoming organization. And in the words of Fred Hampton, what were those words? Do you remember? Dare to struggle?
Dare to win.
Yes, if we dare to struggle, we will win. So I want to thank you, Adam and Ida, for being in this important episode and for bringing this important information to all of our listeners. And I look forward to our next episode where we talk a little bit more and hopefully we give a report back.